It was obvious that all this ritual and all the mechanical minutiae of the wheel, of the numbered slots and the cylinder, had been devised and perfected over the years, so that neither the skill of the croupier nor any bias in the wheel could affect the fall of the ball. And yet it is a convention among roulette players, and Bond rigidly adhered to it, to take careful note of the past history of each session, and to be guided by any peculiarities in the run of the wheel. To note, for instance, and consider significant, sequences of more than two on a single number, or of more than four at the other chances down to evens. Bond didn't defend the practice. He simply maintained that the more effort and ingenuity you put into gambling, the more you took out. On the record of that particular table, after about 3 hours' play, Bond could see little of interest except that the last dozen had been out of favour. It was his practice to play always with the wheel, and only to turn against its previous pattern and start on a new tack after a zero had turned up. So he decided to play one of his favourite gambits, and back two, in this case the first two dozens, each with the maximum 100,000 francs. He thus had two-thirds of the board covered, less the zero, and since the dozens pay odds of 2 to 1, he stood to win 100,000 francs every time any number lower than 25 turned up. After 7 coups, he had won 6 times. He lost on the 7th, when 30 came up. His net profit was 400,000 francs. He kept off the table for the 8th throw. 0 turned up. This piece of luck cheered him further, and, accepting the 30 as a finger-post to the last dozen, he decided to back the first and last dozens until he had lost twice. 10 throws later, the middle dozen came up twice, costing him 400,000 francs, but he rose from the table 1,000,000 francs to the good. Directly Bond had started playing in maximums, his game had become the centre of interest at the table. As he seemed to be in luck, one or two pilot fish started to swim with the shark. Sitting directly opposite, one of these, whom Bond took to be an American, had shown more than the usual friendliness and pleasure at his share of the winning streak. He had smiled once or twice across the table, and there was something pointed in the way he duplicated Bond's movements, placing his two modest plaques of 10 mille exactly opposite Bond's larger ones. When Bond rose, he too pushed back his chair, and called cheerfully across the table, "Thanks for the ride. Guess I owe you a drink. Will you join me?" Bond had a feeling that this might be the CIA man. He knew he was right as they strolled off together towards the bar, after Bond had thrown a plaque of 10 mille to the croupier and had given a mille to the huissier, who drew back his chair. "My name's Felix Leiter," said the American. "Glad to meet you."
"Mine's Bond. James Bond."
"Oh, yes," said his companion. "And now, let's see. What shall we have to celebrate?" Bond insisted on ordering Leiter's Hague and Hague on the rocks, and then he looked carefully at the barman.
"A dry martini," he said. "One. In a deep champagne goblet.